What did they tell you about touching things?
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. It's 9 o'clock on a Saturday night, and that means it's time for Live from the Piano Kitchen. With our resident musical genius, Mr. Jim Conley. And your hostess with the mostest, Paige Towns.
And our one and only, Michael Bernard.
Tonight, I lost the list of the special guests.
That's why we have music going.
With our special guests tonight, Toy Shop Ghost, a poem, our pen pal, Tyler Gobble, the Piano Kitchen Radio Players, and as always, the one, he's not even here, the only, Panama Matt. For those listening to the podcast.
That was almost too much of him, wasn't it?
If you're listening to the podcast, Panama Matt just ran on stage and ran off.
With fully clothed.
Yeah. It's a new year.
Yeah.
A new year, new show. It's exciting. How are you guys doing?
Same show.
Same boring show.
Same
show. New year, okay. Same you.
Way to kick the year off. Anything exciting happened to you over the holiday?
A lot of stuff, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah. Two things is I'm working on two new, brand new hobbies. I've got... one hobby is mumbling.
How's that going? Really good.
But it sounds stupid, but if you do it with somebody, if you have a friend, and it's really actually together with somebody. Mumbling, yeah, and actually, there's bad. You can't just be as good as I am at it. You have to work to this level, because some people try and make too many sounds when they mumble, and other people don't throw enough almost words in. Those are two tips for this hobby. And then the other hobby that I have that I'm working on is posing friends. Like, can we try right now for the radio?
Sure. All yeah, right. You're you're moving my body
right
and
now
posing me
yeah.
as if I'm Wait, like an action
yeah,
figure.
Yeah, but
Michael Bernard's left hand is in a foppish sort of pose, and his right pinky finger inside his nostril, head tilted to the right.
Yeah. Hours of fun, right?
Wow. Those are your two new hobbies. Wow. Really great.
That's amazing. Okay.
All right, well... Sadly, we had to cancel our special Christmas show.
Yes. But we did plan to give out gifts at that show, and we don't want to not do that. No. So we're going to do it.
Yeah. So let's do it. So these were our Christmas crackers. That sadly drunken Santa was going to give everybody.
Wow.
And then non-drunk real Santa was going to show up, and they were going to battle. And that was going to be, my mom, who's here, is very excited. So, everybody grab a cracker.
We think so.
That's something my mom should have said. An audience member just asked, is there enough for everybody? We wouldn't be passing them out if there wasn't enough for everybody. Don't open them yet, because we want everybody to open them at the same time. So we get the noise, the exciting noise. People are waving them. People are excited. And inside the crackers is a surprise. Here we go. One, two, three, four.
Happy New Year! Yeah.
All right. Now inside, you'll find a toy surprise and a special...
A terrible joke.
New Year's crown that we'd like everyone to put on... I got a little ring toss game.
It's going to be a good year for you.
Yeah.
Try saying this phrase 5 times fast. Chilly, chipper, children, cheerfully chant.
Why did they ban the story of the mother who worked her fingers to the bone knitting hosiery to pay for her daughter's music lessons?
Why? Jesus, why?
Too much socks and violins. Violins.
Ooh.
Yeah, we need to talk to the Christmas cracker company. All right, does everybody get their crown on? All right, we're going to play a little game. The last person wearing a crown is going to win the special Live from the Piano Kitchen prize.
Trophy.
Yep, so Jim is displaying for everyone now.
Answer honestly as you are able. Take your crown off if you did not make a New Year's resolution.
Take your crown off if you have already broken your New Year's resolution. Oh, we lost a few. My mom. Done. All right, Jim, your turn.
Take your crown off if that resolution was about weight loss.
Yeah, we still got some crowns on.
All right.
Take your crown off if that resolution is about alcohol.
Last one.
Busted.
Take your crown off if that resolution was about social media. No one.
Okay.
No one.
All right. Take the crown off if that resolution is about learning a musical instrument.
No one.
Especially banjo. All right, nobody. Good.
Take your crown off if you use the 12 items or less line when you had more than 12 items.
Ever.
Ooh.
Oh.
All right. Take your crown off if your resolution concerns autoerotic asphyxiation while listening to speeches of Richard Nixon.
Take your crown off if you have not masturbated this year. Sorry.
There's one! Raise your hand if you still have a crown on. So we have 1, 2, 3, 4 finalists. Okay. Sadly, that was our last question. So we have to go to the emergency tiebreaker, which is who has the closest birthday to today?
Oh.
There's a woman right here. Let's give it up for... Anybody called March 9th takes it.
Come on up.
Oh, no, whoa. Wait. What? April Dwayne. Oh, there it is.
Please come up.
You got to come up and get your duck. Kathy is going to Kathy.
I don't want to see that in the dumpster out front, okay?
Okay.
All right, we're starting the show off with our very own Toy Shop Ghost, a.k.a. the one and only Jim Connolly.
Yes!
How can I tell you that I love you? I can't think of right words to say. I long to tell you that I'm always thinking of you. I'm always thinking of you, but my words just blow away. It always ends up to one thing, and I can't think of right words to say. I'm always walking with you, I'm always walking with you, but I look and you're not there. Whoever I'm with, I'm always, always talking to you, I'm always talking to you, and I'm sad that you can't hear. It always ends up to one thing, and I look and you're I need to know you, need to feel my arms around you, feel my arms around you, like the sea surrounds the shore. Each night and day I pray that I hope that I might find you, I hope I might find you, because hearts can do no more. It always ends up to one thing, still I kneel upon the floor. Think of right words to say. I long to tell you that I'm always thinking of you. I'm always thinking of you, but my words just blew away. It always ends up to one thing. I can't think of right words to say.
Cat Stevens, right?
If you are new to the show, just be aware that we release it on iTunes as a podcast, live from the Piano Kitchen. We also have a Facebook page that you can get updates on who's going to be in the show, and you can sign up for our mailing list, which we actually now have, thanks to Paige. And every show we do a live radio play. Sound effects by the one and only Panama Matt! Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and all the ships at sea that are listening to this podcast. So basically, no one. Tonight, the Piano Kitchen Radio Theater brings you a tale of testament and torture, of freedom and failings, of two other things that begin with the same letter. For tonight is Spraining Day. We begin our story with Leslie and Dietrich Malamunder, a couple approaching their 10-year anniversary. The marriage is good, but the bloom is off the rose. The shine is off the car. The enamel is off the teeth. The paint is off that thing that had paint on it. In other words, they were in a rut. They celebrated the big day at their favorite restaurant. And here we are, two glasses of our second least expensive champagne-style beverage. I'll be back with your dinner when I get around to it.
Happy anniversary to you, honey.
I thought we said no gifts.
I couldn't help myself.
An iPad, honey, that is so extravagant and thoughtful.
I knew you wanted one and didn't want to spend the money on yourself, so...
Thank you. Happy anniversary.
You don't sound very happy about it.
I'm happy, I'm just... I don't know.
What?
Well, I just... It has nothing to do with us.
What the hell is wrong?
I just don't feel good. I'm always tired and I feel crappy. I guess I'm just getting old.
You're not that old.
What the hell is wrong with me? Maybe I have leukemia.
You don't have leukemia, you're just overweight.
That's not very nice.
Better to be overweight than have leukemia.
Still, I don't think I'm...
Dietrich, I have had your body on top of me regularly for over 10 years. I am very aware of how much you weigh.
Okay.
Seriously, like a lot.
I got it.
Not that I get to measure it that often.
Okay, I get it. I'm fat. Tell the world.
You asked.
I don't think I actually asked anyone anything.
I'm sorry if I hurt your feelings.
No, it's all right. I just... You're right. I'll tell you what. I'm going to go on a diet.
And here is your order. One grilled salmon salad for the lady.
Thank you.
And one order of chicken and waffles with French fries with a side of mashed potatoes in gravy.
Thanks. All right, tomorrow I'll go on a diet.
Provided you don't have a heart attack.
What?
And anything else to drink, sir? A milkshake, perhaps?
No, I'm fine.
Very good, sir. And so Dietrich tried to diet, but 1 month later...
What the crap? I've gained weight.
I could have told you that.
But...
You can't just diet. Look, go to a gym. Get a trainer. Someone to help you.
Well, that's too expensive.
Consider it an anniversary gift.
You already got me that iPad.
No, this will be a gift from you to me.
All right.
And so Dietrich squeezed into the only pair of workout clothes he had that fit and headed down to his local gym where he met trainer Pepper McPaddington.
Hey!
Hi.
Are you here to get fit?
I guess.
Okay!
You're really excited about this, aren't you?
Yes, I am. I'm on a mission to make sure everyone in America is fit, fit, fit!
And so Dietrich worked, and sweated, 76, and worked some more.
77? 78? sets of doggy don'ts, jump ups, and pitter cottontails. Let's go, lazy balls!
I have a question.
I said let's go!
What I want to know...
Keep lifting! Get those earlobes back! Can't you feel the burn?
I just...
Did I say you could talk 10-ton flaps right now?
Can I talk now?
Okay, 20 seconds of rest while you run in place where talking is allowed.
Okay, so I was just wondering...
Liver lifts, go!
I'm working out hard.
Harder! Do you feel the burn?
I feel it. Oh, God, it hurts. I hate myself.
Yes! That's what we're going for.
You want me to hate myself?
Look at you. You're overweight, and you have almost no energy. You can barely do 5 elbow tardigans.
I'm trying.
I know, and what I am telling you is that somewhere under all that disgusting flab and fat and... blubber and lard.
Okay, those are all the same thing.
Under all of that is a really good-looking, highly energetic man just waiting to get out and make his mark on the world.
I guess.
Under the disgusting layers of decaying muscle and tissue that your wife finds repulsive to the touch...
I don't think she...
...is a complete stud who could score with any woman or man at this gym.
Maybe this is getting a little bit out of control.
Underneath that putrid...
Okay, I get it. What can I do?
Well, I think you need to look at your diet.
I tried to diet. I just can't do it.
Look, I'm working on my thesis project for Exercise Academy, and maybe you can help me out. It's an app where you log in what you eat.
I have to write it down?
Sure. You see, you just enter what you eat, and it will tell you how many calories you just added, plus how long it will take to burn it. Let's see. So what did you have for breakfast?
I had a blueberry bran muffin with some butter.
Okay, let me just type that in.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. That's gonna stick with you, and it is not giving you a lot of energy.
So what should I eat?
Well, for now, just log whatever you do eat. Don't worry about the diet, and as you start to learn what different foods can do, maybe you will start to change the way you think about food.
Okay, I'll give it a shot.
And so with his new app in hand, Dietrich went about his normal day.
Hey there, Dietrich. You're working too hard. Take a coffee break with me. Janice from Spending brought in some of her famous gooey cinnamon rolls.
Oh, that looks pretty tasty. I think I can have one. Just let me log it on first.
Log it in? What the hell kind of weenie move is that?
It's just a thing I'm doing, okay? I just have to type in what I'm eating and...
Holy crap! Is that a picture of you?
Yeah, I guess the app shows you what you would look like if you actually ate the food.
Yeah, it looks like you have maybe 5 more asses in that picture.
Yeah, maybe I'll pass on that cinnamon roll, but I'm still hungry.
Oh, there's some celery sticks in the trash.
Yeah, let me see what that does.
Dietrich, that's hot.
Hey, there's some hot woman in your phone. Maybe she'll like you better if you eat more celery.
Okay, just leave me alone.
Yes? Dietrich was the subject of endless and completely justified ridicule, but he kept at it.
Let's see, how bad would it be if I ate just one croissant? Hello?
Hi, Dietrich, it's Pepper. Just making sure you're not, you know, eating croissants. Or anything.
I'm not.
Great. Just calling to tell you how much I believe in you, and I am so excited for the you you can be. That's really true you.
Cool.
You're right, I am cool.
Maybe I won't eat that croissant.
Newly committed to the lifestyle choices encouraged by the fitness app, Dietrich noticed some changes in his life.
Hey, Dietrich.
No.
New glasses?
I don't ever wear glasses.
Really? Then why do I always think you're a loser?
Do you think everyone that wears glasses is a loser?
No, just you.
That seems kind of weird.
Not according to the office Slack.
There's an office Slack where you talk about me?
Not just about you, about all the losers in the office. But I feel like we're going to have to take you off now.
That's great.
Except there won't be anyone else to talk about.
And later, at home, while watching the news...
That's why everything is terrible and the world sucks. I'm Chet McMiddenden. Good night.
I guess I'll go to bed.
Weigh yourself, bitch.
After I weigh myself.
Did your phone just call you a bitch?
No, it's just reminding me to weigh myself. I gotta go.
As Dietrich ran to the scale for fear of angering his app, he quickly shed all of his clothes to be as light as possible.
Hey, honey, come here. I've lost almost 10 pounds.
Really? Hey, you look really good. Come over here and let me test out that new body.
Hold on. Just let me log in my weight.
Are you trying to tell me that logging something on your phone is more exciting than sex with me?
No, I just,
Then let's get in bed.
Here I come.
185.
You better not be entering your weight.
I'm not.
Get over here.
And after a fairly rigorous bout of lovemaking, and I know what I'm talking about because I watched it. Yes, it's creepy, but come on, you're listening to it. And I'm right there, and you know, the guy lost 10 pounds, so he's looking pretty good, and she's no slouch. I mean, she's no B. Arthur, but that's probably good because B. Arthur is dead, and who wants to have sex with a decomposing body?
I do.
Except Jim. And no one wants to end up like Jim. Am I right, people?
I sure do.
Thanks, Jim. Anyway, after some vigorous lovemaking, Dietrich immediately grabbed his phone.
What are you doing?
Nothing.
You're looking at that app, aren't you?
I just wanted to log my exercise.
We were making love!
I know, but I'm supposed to log my calories, and I think I burned a few.
Is that why you were so physical? So you could burn more calories?
No, because I love you. Now, did you just have the one orgasm?
What? Why are you asking?
Well, if I make you orgasm more than once, I get karma points for this app.
Are you fucking kidding me? You're tracking our sex on a weight loss app?
It's not just weight loss. This is about whole self reinvigoration. I'm becoming woke through this app.
Why not just try living your life?
I am, and I'm tracking it.
Well, track that your wife is a little angry about her husband only having sex with her so he can get karma points on his stupid app.
Let's see, that's probably under lifestyle.
Seriously? I'm going to sleep.
And as Dietrich entered the information into the app...
Ooh, I've opened a new area of woketitude. Let's see. When people dump their negative energy on you, it causes karmic weight gain. How to eliminate them? Eliminate them? It must mean eliminate that. Eliminating them would be killing.
Will Dietrich find the woke state he is looking for? Will his weight loss app convince Dietrich to kill his wife? We'll find out later on in tonight's program. I may be biased, but I'm pretty sure our next performer is one of the greatest people in the world.
Wow.
Please give it up, giving you some selections from her solo show, the amazing Annie Torsalieri.
Thank you, kind stranger. I barely knew him. I don't know why he said those nice things about me. We're married. So this is a play that I have been working on with my amazing director, Misery Zabrinin, over just a few years. And we did it this fall in New York City at a festival, And we're going to be doing it locally, we think, in February. And then we're going to do it in L.A. at the Skirball Center, March 11th. Yeah. And for a week in North Carolina, Playmakers Rep at the end of April. So this song is one of two little selections I'm going to do for you tonight. I'll do this one now and the other one later. The play is about my family's real, true experience in the world of autism. One of our sons has an autism diagnosis. And are you sort of ready?
Yeah.
Sort of kind of ready? So one of the things that, of course, terrifies any autism parent is dealing with the all-powerful school administrators, of course. So, don't get me wrong, I have had plenty of wonderful teachers and therapists and educators for our son. And for them, we are forever grateful. You guys rock! But there is always that one administrator who thinks she knows better and who wants to cut costs. And in our case, it was this lady named Julie... but I really shouldn't say her name. On the other hand, I never wanted to cause you pain, at least not until I knew you. So I thought it best if I could explain. Well, that is before I sue you. You somehow hold the magic strings to success in my baby's schooling. You're messing with his ABCs and you don't seem to care. 'Cause you're our district's fancy new assistant super VIP. Your vision took away his aid, and yet you just can't see. So though I'm barred from causing bodily harm by my lawyer's advice, I think the least I could do is to roll the dice, say you're vindictive, you're a tool, and did I mention not nice? And though I'd never use your real name, I'll get my message to you just the same. Bully Bonson, you can buck my bick. You can buck my bick, Bully Bonson. Cecilia Bully Bonson from Boxnard, California. Buck my bick, Bully Bonson. Last year at our son's IEP, that's Individualized Education Plan if you're new to this shit, he needs an aide, everyone there agreed. A special helper, as we're oh so fond of calling it. Then you showed up over summer break, and without ever meeting our son, you decided he was doing just peachy keen without his own one-on-one. And so you spread the word to all over every teacher's loud objections. Did you call us? Did you write? Fill us in on the change? Oh, hell no. Hell, you didn't, bitch. So while we lawyer up, let me take this chance to scratch a little itch. Listen closely as I seize the day, and not so very impolitely say. Bully Bonson, you can buck my bick. You can buck my bick, Bully Bonson. I would never use your real name, that would be uncool. But buck my bick, Bully Bonson. Oh, Bully Bonson. Assistant Superintendent of Schools in Boxnard, California. You broke my heart, you broke my trust, and you deserve to have your name sung far and wide by all the parents everywhere who've ever had an axe to grind and an eye on the almighty dollar. But I've been advised by my lawyers that I can't call you out personally,
so I'm going to keep this on the QT. You know who you are, lady, and this is for you. Everybody! Booty button, you can fuck my big, you can fuck my big booty button. I would never use your really, that would be uncool. Fuck my big booty button. Modulations! Booty button, you can fuck my big, you can fuck my big booty button. I should try to be Zen and I'll bust up that shit. Fuck my big booty button. Back my back. My big bad back.
He's a man, he's a poet. He's our pen pal, don't we know it? He's a man named Biscuits Calhoun.
Dear Paige, Happy New Year from each and every iteration of me, Biscuits Calhoun, the poet yapping at you now, Tyler Gobble, the new-ish friend who married your longtime-ish friend, whatever version of me demonstrated for you how to shoot a pellet gun at empty beer cans in my yard that first time we met. Though if I remember correctly, and remembering is one movement I must always doubt, you were wary, skeptical, skittish around such devices. And at first, I imagined such deviations of a person, like me. Hellos even eke out of some sealed envelopes buried inside my 204 pounds. Some flicker of roughneck Casanova past, the timid, skinny, big-headed kiddo. Yes, it is a new year, and this is a new letter. I have moved on beyond the letter still stuck in the envelope I sent to you, the one meant for the last episode, the one that quoted Dean Young. He said, "How goofy and horrible is life," and whatever snag, heartache, grievance intersected and thus interrupted the goodness y'all create on a regular basis, it proves just that rehashed quibble, a joy and a pity at the same damn time. I feel it in every crevice of this self. That last letter also had this anaphora. Tonight was the night. It said, and it said, and it said. So to get this particular party grooving forward, I will borrow that to say, tonight is the night Austin felt snow, a dusting enough to write one's name in, an accumulation enough to build a tiny snowman on top of a neglected charcoal grill, since this house has gone vegetarian. I have another feeling you had something to do with that. How we will always seem to be together, leaning, learning, looking along the length of life. And as I decided which name to write with my chewed brown boots and that pure white, I decided first to give 2018 a chance. T-Gob, I then wrote in that cold dust, and I went back inside prepared for everyone to force me to share a resolution or six as they too enthusiastically listed intention after aim after plan, to lose weight, to wait more patiently, to patent that one contraption they dreamt up way back in May. Instead, it was New Year's Eve presently and only. Craig, the host, he finished a sentence with the phrase, "a half million bees," as I re-entered, as he served my redneck parents goat cheese and pear toast with pomegranate honey. The mouthful that allowed my mom to stop asking how I am doing, over and over this whole visit long. Though I am grateful it is no longer the how are you doing with the grief of losing your grandmother, your uncle, your brother, no longer the how are you doing with your anger problem, the situation with your ex, your drinking schedule, no longer the how are you doing with your tantrums, breakdown spells, whatever we are calling them these days. It is just the how are you doing. Her solid and sincere validation in the questioning. Threaded in are my solid marriage, my demons danced with, my diagnosis dinged and being dealt with. Yet among those loving New Year faces and stainless steel appliances, I could not shake yet another quote that blisters in the sun of my skull. Camille T. Dungy, she said, I give away a little bit about myself each time I speak. My mom, half-jokingly, on an earlier visit, she repeated, "Who are you right now?" Settling a worry, a curiosity, but also making light of my multiple personalities. She never caught me in an altar, but she never caught the son she thought she had either, normally, regularly, in her mind. We are not who we were not that long ago, Rebecca Solnit, she reminds us, and now I remind you, today is the day I return to preschool, as a teacher, of course, to find over Christmas break, Lolly finally lost all her baby hair. It's strewn like scattered ribbon torn off the presents and left for time, with the new toy, the new fun, all through the house. Emily jumps on my lap, she wraps her arms around my neck, she tells me, I missed you. She tells me, I am still in diapers, the last one of her kind in this classroom. Claire Bowman, she said, self, little pebble, I swallow because I like the way it sounds. As you know, I read a great heap of poetry, so I never thought I would be the kind of person to read the magazine Consumer Reports, but I do. My grandfather bought me a subscription, and clearly I enjoy lists of all varieties. Five kinds of person I never thought I'd be. One, after last year's meltdown, diagnosis, public humiliation, I never thought I would be the kind of person to teach children again about empathy, about poetry, about potty training, about being a person again. Two, I never thought I would be the kind of person to love an animal as much as I love Ginny Bug. She is barking as I write this, an admiration that is stretching its whiskers across the animal kingdom. Three, which is a good time to re-emphasize, I never thought I would be the kind of person to say, done are my days of fishing, hunting, and as much as possible, eating the flesh of slaughtered meat. On whatever scale, I feel what I hear from Matt Hart. He said, I cannot stand the suffering. Four, I never thought I would be the kind of person to wear $50 jeans, Levi's, 513s, 36-32s, but everyone says they look great. Or to wear sleeves at least 5 days a week. Or to wear socks with dinosaurs made of tacos on them. But this is how I dress now, among several other ways. Five, I never thought I would be the kind of person a friend would ghost a friend would treat negatively about one friend she once said she could tell it was me in front in a foggy room by the happy but confused look on my stupid face. Once, twice, three times she slammed me up against the car wall, a fistful of air, and pressed her mouth against mine, without asking and with vigor. Now this friend, she has ghosted me, she currently hates me, and shining through my disbelief of the last 4 years is my joy that I have been branded with this diagnosis, dissociative identity disorder. I wanted to say it again, that is all, a step towards a true grasp on my life, like figuring out what I am sure of. Four ways I spot a potential dissociation. One, trembling hands. Two, watering eyes. Three, forgotten blips of time. Four, the kind of exhaustion that slings most people straight into slumber. Three losses that threw me toward this disorder. One, my grandmother dead, but not before I predicted it. Two, my uncle dead, but not before I predicted it. Three, my brother sent away, but not before they found him in a bed with a man, though long before I too realized I would like to share a bed with a man. Today is the day I realized I want to be more honest with you. Yes, I once choked my ex-girlfriend in a parking garage in a dissociative spell I cannot remember. Yes, I retweet articles about how men can be better, not because I believe I am the best kind of man, but because, believe it or not, I want to be a man who is better than yesterday. Yes, I once shit my pants and tried to cover the stench with leaves. I tell my 3-year-old students this story, and they burst with laughter like broken bones. But in a few, I see a nod, a thank you, as if to say, I would try that too if not for you. Yes, I am bisexual, though I have never been penetrated by a man. Yes, this year I am returning to parades, county fairs, auctions, chicken coops, middle of nowheres, a spot between a rock and a big-ass live oak tree. The way everyone is stiff if they haven't been to a parade, Brenda Hillman, she said that, and it is there I flatten unable to find a proper ending for this third letter. So I will seal it from the unspoiled second. Yes. Its ending strolled something like this. My ex, she says, you are not doing the work. meaning working on myself, meaning getting that list of people who think I am an asshole down to zero. But hey, I thought that is what these poems are doing. That is what these letters are doing. That is what building this machine called a marriage with Diana is doing. That is why I am standing on my head twice a month and letting what shakes out, shake out. Yes, most definitely, tonight is the night Diana and I first loved making time for making love in our short marriage. Or rather, tonight is the night I realized to come back takes much from the ghost, which is why when she finally reaches us, she is so tired and can only manage a single drawn-out boo.
He's a man. He's a poet. He's our pen pal, don't we know it? He's a man named Biscuits Calhoun.
That is a real guy, lives in Austin.
Did he really write them?
Yes. Yeah, he's writing us letters for every show.
Teach me, show me. Me, I want to get smarter tonight.
Hey, who wants to learn how to throat sing?
Yay!
Okay, all right. So what we're going to do is we're going to try it, and it's going to sound really funny, and then we're going to, after we've worked on it for 45 minutes or so, we're gonna walk around and we're going to pick the best five of us, and then we're going to put that throat singing into an actual real-world situation where it makes the... Yeah. All right, so first of all, show of
this
hands...
This might go better if you mumbled.
I'm going to pose you for a second. okay, so first of all, can anybody throat sing? All right, good. All right. There's different kinds, but the kind we're going to learn is the low kind, the kind that sounds like... I have popcorn in my mouth, by the way. I can't do it. Right? And men and women can do this, so everybody needs to try, especially Michael's mom. Okay? A good way to start is, first of all, whatever you do, don't try and make a note. Don't try and like go... It's not... It comes from a... It's a different thing. The thing that it's most related to is clearing your throat. So, and in fact, you just imagine you've got like a popcorn kernel stuck in your. Now, make that sound longer. Trying to teach two Westmont students how to do this, and it was a long bus ride for, you know, 3 hours in Poland. It's like a lot of cigarettes, and they weren't getting it. They sounded like these guys. No, I know. All right. Oh, okay. All right. Wait, Matt. And then Mitchell, we got off the bus, and Mitchell said, "Hey, what are you guys doing?" And he said, "Oh, we're trying to learn how to throat sing." And he said, "You mean like this?" It's like, rah! He nailed it. He didn't even work on it. Yeah. Okay. All right. So here's what we're going to do.
What's going to happen is I've been studying a lot of meditation. And so I'm going to lead the group through a guided meditation accompanied by these Tibetan throat singers. To relax our audience, all right? You are alone in a beautiful field filled with flowers and birds. The sun is shining, and you can feel your skin tingle as you bathe in its warmth. You have no worries, no worries at all. You don't even care about the fact that your brother borrowed $2,000 from you, and even though he promised to pay it off by the end of the year, he still has not done that. You realize your body is light, lighter than the air around you. Your body is so light you can actually float. You float up and over the field. You look down and see the world is small and insignificant. Nothing matters to you right now. Not even the fact that you can see your brother coming out of a record store with those newly remastered Tom Waits records on 180-gram vinyl. He has the money for those, but he can't pay you back? Now you see all of your cares lined up in front of you. The bills, the laptop that is 9 years old, and you promised yourself you would finally replace just as soon as your brother pays you back the goddamn money you borrowed. With one breath, you blow them all away. Okay, maybe you need two breaths to blow it away. Finally, there's your fucking brother right in front of you with that stupid smug smile of his telling you he knows he can get the money, and why is it your business if he buys those Tom Waits records? They were a late Christmas present to his wife. Do you think he shouldn't buy his wife a present? And even though you want to tell him just where he and his bitch wife can shove those fucking Tom Waits records and you demand your goddamn money, you relax. All right, let's give it up for the throat chat.
Go. Can we be friends? I have so much to say to you. Misconnections.
January 5th. Cute redhead at Albertsons in Carpinteria. M4W. When I walked into Albertsons, we made eye contact. You had on a red flannel long sleeve and black pants, and you were with your mom. Grandmother? Anyways, after I was done shopping, I was standing in line, and you were in another line. We both kept stealing glances at each other and smiling. Unfortunately, I had to break away from our shy flirtation to grab sour cream. I had blue shorts, gray sweater. But what did my hat say?
So where did you go? Can we be friends? I have so much to say to you.
November 29. Tall guy named Michael. W4M. I'm looking for Michael. He's a really tall white guy with a size 14 or 15 shoe. I miss him. And if he's single, I just want to hook up once. No strings attached. Who am I? Well, I live in the Bay Area and used to work with him.
Misconnection.
December 28th. Cutie at the yarn shop. M for M. I'm the guy who bought the gift certificate for my sister. You're really cute, and I was too stupid to say anything. I'm the dark-haired guy with the beard and the big bear tattoo that you commented on. Boy, was I off my game that day. Hit me up for a drink or two.
Where did you go? Can we be friends? I have so much to say to you.
December 5. Photographer at the mission, W4M. Sunday, you were taking pictures at the mission around 2 or 3 p.m. We walked by when you were on the phone saying the person you were going to take pics of didn't show up. I think you were maybe a photo student, but I'm not sure. Because of my friends, I didn't say anything. But if you ever need a model, I'm not a supermodel or anything, but I think it would be fun to pose and look glamorous and sexy and things. The beach will be warm this weekend if you ever shoot there or want to. You were maybe in your 40s or around there, brownish gray hair, and you just seemed nice. We chatted for a minute, but you were focused on getting the camera right.
Misconnection. Misconnection.
January 9th, Eucalyptus Hill, dog walking, M for W. Hi. I rode by on my bike Sunday night, and you said hi while walking your dog down Eucalyptus Hill Road. Sorry about the bright light in your face. Normally I would have turned that down, but I didn't see you until the last minute. I wish there was more time to stop and get to know you. It was very dark, and I couldn't see really well, but I had a feeling you and your dog were worth getting to know better. If you ever want to talk or a walk, let me know. Hope your walk was enjoyable. Maybe we will see each other again someday.
Where did you go? Can we be friends? I have so much to say to you. Misconnections. Misconnections.
All right, one more time from her original one-woman show. Let's give it up for Annie Torsalieri.
Is written by the amazing Brad Carroll. So let's shout it out for Brad.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you heard the beginning part of what the play is about, autism. Yeah. Okay, so freaking out during the play. And so I realize I have to come up with a really good coping mechanism. Besides white wine and Ambien. But those are good. Those are damn good. I'm worried for Davey, his future, our family, blah, 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 Sam and Max, and how are they affected? And let's cut to the chase. Selfishly, of course, I am afraid for me. Okay, I knew it would all come back to me. Can I handle this, or will I crack like a nut? Then I find something out. I dig down deep inside of myself and I dig and I fucking dig and then I dig some more, and it is amazing what years of Catholic school can give you with a little digging. It comes to me like a breath from my Italian ancestors, this little Jiminy Cricket full of wisdom. The mantra that I recognize deep in my soul to be true. Girl, it says, suck it the fuck up. Yeah. Thank God for spirituality. Suck it, the fuck up. You want an itty bitty.
and I try to live by that mantra. Suck it the fuck up. You know, in that self-righteous way that you do. I go to a birthday party for my friend's five-year-old, truly the third circle of hell for any parent, let alone an autism parent, as we are so affectionately called. And Davey is happily opening and closing the closet door over and over and over, while all the other parents are staring at him and avoiding my eyes. And all the other kids are playing who can fart the loudest and pin the tail on Dora the Explorer. And then I watch as the birthday boy's parents set up my own personal gauntlet of terror, the long table for pizza. And I want to cry as I watch Sam and all the other kids sit down at the long table for pizza, and I sit near Davey at the end, hoping and praying he'll at least notice the other children there. And I'm thinking, I got it worse than you. You ain't got a thing on me. If you measure it all out, it seems without a doubt that what I got is what you want to see. And I rush into the bathroom and lock the door before anyone can see me breaking, and I splash cold water in my face, and I look myself in the mirror, and I say, suck it, suck it, suck it. The fuck up. You want an itty bitty pity party, itty bitty pity party, itty bitty pity party, yeah. Itty bitty pity party, yeah. I am handling a whole lot of shit. I don't know if my kid's ever gonna learn to read or make a friend or hold down a job, so I start to have a different perspective about the small stuff. Everyday gripes, you know? They seem to fall away in a delicious swirl. I can't believe I ever worried about whether or not I spilled something on my new blouse, or my roots need touching up, or the other mom I met at the park likes me. And I start to want to share my liberation from the small stuff with the people around me. I mean, if I can handle autism and all of that madness, then by God, you should be able to handle your day-to-day, Mr. Man on the Street. I ordered a Coke, not a Diet Coke. Suddenly I have a message to shout out to all the other comfortable middle-class folks complaining about what the waiters brought them. I sing, I got it worse than you. You ain't got a thing on me. If you measure it all out, it seems without a doubt that what I got is what you see. So suck it, suck it, suck it, the fuck up, suck it, suck it, the fuck up, the fuck up. You want an itty bitty pitty party, itty bitty pitty party, itty bitty pitty party, yeah. I mean, we're not living in a cardboard box here or a war zone, though horribly many, many people are. We have rights here. Well, at least for today. I still have most of my teeth. I need to add a little gratitude and perspective to my day, and by God, friend, so do you. What are the odds that this makes me insufferable?
Welcome back to the Pielo Kitchen Radio Theater. In the last episode of Spraining Day, Dietrich and Leslie were celebrating their 10th anniversary.
Happy anniversary, honey. Here's an iPad.
Oh, how thoughtful. I didn't get you anything.
Well, go to a gym and work out.
So Dietrich did, which was where he met his fitness guru, Pepper.
I'm getting my PhD from Exercise College, and you can use this app to track your food.
But the app tracked more than food. Dietrich started to track his whole life, which was a problem for Leslie.
Do you have to log details of our lovemaking?
Having some questions about the app, Dietrich decided to ask Pepper about it at their next session.
Oh, Dietrich, you look great!
I feel great.
I think the Do It or Die program has really been working well for you.
Yeah, I mean, it gets a little personal sometimes.
Aren't you a person?
Uh. Yeah.
Aren't these changes personal changes?
I guess so.
So how can it be too personal?
I guess it can't.
Okay, great. I'm glad we're all on the same page because there is a great new update to the app, an upgrade to the app that comes with this wristband. Here, hold out your hand.
Okay.
Oh, wow. Is that permanent?
You don't want it falling off, do you?
I guess not.
Well then, let's test it out. Here, I want you to eat this delicious piece of cake.
But that's not... See, I can't log that without shame.
You don't even have to log it. Just eat it.
But I...
Eat it.
But I can't.
Eat it! Eat it!
Okay.
And as Dietrich lifted the gloriously delicious piece of cake to his mouth...
Ow!
Great! See, it works. It warns you about doing something that isn't contributing to your whole self-health.
But that hurts!
How much more would it hurt your body to eat the cake?
I think I see your point.
I know, it is a great point. Listen, Big D. Oh, I think you're ready to join the group.
The group?
Yeah. I have some others that have been on the same program. We all share the goal of getting everyone in the country to be in shape. We meet in a class I call Woker Size. Come on! They're all stretching out in the Wokatorium.
And as Dietrich followed Pepper into the workout room, there was a crowd of the fittest people he had ever seen.
How are we feeling, people?
Whoa! In shape! Alive!
I love it!
And we love being in shape!
And
we love you, Pepper!
Oh, you guys. This is the latest woke and infit compatriot. Say hello to Dietrich and tell him what you think of our tribe.
Hi, Dietrich. Welcome to a world of wonder. Get ready to exercise and...
Feel the burn! This is the best decision I've ever made. I've never felt more alive.
I only had to sleep 6 minutes last night.
I would kill for a piece of chocolate. I mean kale.
All hail kale!
I love kale so much.
What do you think?
Wow, this is exciting.
You better log that.
My excitement?
Yeah. You're up to 2.0 now, buddy. That means you are logging all of your feelings.
Well, how do my feelings change my weight?
Ow! That's how.
But I love kale.
Hooray! Later at home, Leslie was making dinner.
Honey, here's your dinner. I made heart-healthy steamed fish with kale.
Wow. Let me just log that, and then I need to log how I feel about you and the fact that you're being so nice to me, and I need to log your reaction.
Okay, but don't you want to eat it?
I do. Let me take a bite.
Well?
This is good. I need to log that.
Maybe after you finish all your logging, you can earn some of those giving your wife an orgasm points.
I need to log that I am someone who is sexually attracted to someone else.
Hey, can you put down the phone?
Oh, I need to log that anger towards me and look for ways to work around it.
You could work around it by paying attention to me and not your phone.
I'm going to log that suggestion.
Okay, fine. You just keep using your phone while I just give you a special massage. Let me just work this lower part of your body.
Oh, I got to log this erection.
Put the phone down and follow me into the bedroom. Now!
Yes.
And a little later, while in the throes of passion...
Oh, God.
Oh, yes. Yeah. A little to the left.
The left? My left or your left?
My left.
Oh, yeah, I can feel the burn.
Are you logging right now?
What? No.
You are.
I thought I had it on silent.
What the hell?
Is that why you wanted to do the reverse panda position? So I couldn't see you typing on your phone?
I have to log my experiences and my feelings.
Well, maybe you can log what it feels like to have your wife leave you.
I wonder if that would go into feelings or experiences. Let me look.
That is it!
And just like that, Leslie grabbed the phone and...
Oh my God! My God, what?
It's just the phone!
It's a lifestyle! It's my connection to the bracelet! Stuck!
What the hell is going on?
It's a lifestyle correction. If I'm not connected to the app, I get...
You get punished?
I'm sorry.
You don't have to apologize to me.
I'm not. I'm apologizing to the app.
I know what I have to do.
And so Leslie jumped in her car and raced down to Fabulous Fitness, both words spelled with a PH for reasons not clear to anyone. When she got there...
Hello?
The entire gym seemed empty.
Hello?
But very faintly she heard...
Can you feel the burning? Four more!
And Leslie followed the sound and entered the woke-atorium.
Lift the axes high and swing! Now turn them around to the blunt side and smack down on those mannequin heads! Who's there? I came to work out.
Liar.
I... want to be in a class and learn to chop fake heads with an axe.
Oh, really?
Yes. I heard there was a trainer here who wants to make everyone in America fit.
That's true. That's me.
How do swinging axes help people get fit?
They don't. They kill people who are not fit.
What?
Look. Look. I'd help everyone get fit if I could. But some people don't want to be an Adonis. For reasons I do not understand, they are happy to live their lives sitting on a couch, eating chips, and watching television.
But that's their choice.
They're killing themselves with that behavior. All I'm doing is speeding the process along.
But that's murder.
So is eating chips!
No more chips!
Shut it, Bertha!
You're insane!
That's not what your husband thinks.
How do you know who my husband is?
Because I'm right here.
And when Leslie turned around, she saw Dietrich, axe in hand, ready to exercise his right to murder.
How did you get here so fast?
Dietrich is in such great shape now that he can run faster than a car.
I felt the burn.
But I smashed your phone. You were electrocuted.
I had a backup of the app on the iPad you gave me for our anniversary.
Well, curse you iPads and my excessive generosity.
Grab her!
And suddenly, all the members of the exercise class grabbed Leslie.
No! Hold her down!
Can we eat her?
Bertha, give it a rest.
I'm just asking.
Bertha!
What if she's steamed and prepared without butter?
Okay, fine, then you can eat.
You can't just eat me. I have an exercise. There's a lot of fat on these bones.
We will deal with it after you are dead.
You did kind of promise we could eat her.
Bertha!
I love kale.
And now, Big D, I think you need to get in a workout. Pick up that axe.
Dietrich, no!
Dietrich carefully put down his new iPad.
Moving along, Big D.
I want to be careful with the iPad. I've just started a new streak on Candy Crush.
And Nettie picked up one of the axes.
Honey, no.
Now lift the axe over your head, Dietrich.
And Dietrich swung the axe over his head.
Now kill her.
And as Dietrich lifted the axe over his head, preparing to split his wife's head open.
Try to make it a clean blow above the neck so you can save enough of the light meat as possible.
Seriously, Bertha!
It's less fatty than the dark meat.
Bertha, outside, now. Now. Dietrich, help make everyone in America fit and healthy by killing someone who isn't.
And Dietrich raised the axe over his head.
Honey.
And just as he brought it down, Leslie grabbed the iPad Dietrich had so carefully laid on the floor and used it to block the axe.
No!
And once the iPad was smashed, so was the connection to Dietrich's bracelet.
Oh my God. What have I done? I prepaid for a year for that cellular plan.
Honey?
Did you at least get AppleCare for it?
You were going to kill me.
What? I don't remember.
Look out!
And with hatred seething in her eyes, Pepper ran at Dietrich, swinging an axe over her head.
I will kill you both!
And without thinking, Dietrich grabbed the smashed iPad and flung it at Pepper's face. The shards from the broken screen cut her eyeballs.
I'm blind! No! All those eyeball exercises for nothing!
Leslie grabbed the other half of the iPad and rammed it into the mainframe of the computer, causing an explosion.
The building is catching fire. We have to get out of here. Come on, everyone.
Where do I log in dying in a fire on the app?
We have to go now.
We can't leave our leader.
You burn over 1,000 calories running for your life from a fire.
Let's go.
And as they ran out, they came across Bertha lying in a sea of protein bar wrappers.
Bertha, it's okay. I'm still under 2,000 calories.
We have to get out of here, Bertha.
Together, they all ran out to the parking lot where they watched the flames engulf the building.
Do you think she can feel it burning?
No!
I think yes.
I'm melting! Melting!
Honey, I'm so sorry. I just wanted to lose a few pounds and feel better about myself. I never meant to hurt you.
I know.
I guess I've learned that the healthiest thing to do is not exercise.
You know, there's a couple of bags of gopher cracklings in the cabinet, and there's sports on TV all day.
Let's go.
And so Dietrich and Leslie went off, content in the knowledge that lying on the couch, watching sports and eating chips was the single healthiest thing they could do for themselves and for the health of their relationship. And that's our show! Let's give it up to all our amazing Piano Kitchen radio players, Ann Torsolieri, Stephen Armstrong, Panama Matt, and all our guests tonight, Toy Shop Ghost, Tyler Leiter from Tyler Gobble. Thanks so much. Thanks so much for coming out. Please check the Facebook page for our next show and have a good night.